Thanks for joining us for another Faith Horizons podcast. The purpose of a Faith Horizons podcast is to discover the kingdom of God in Kansas City, one conversation at a time. This podcast is a second of a two-part episode with Eric and Chris Chia. In this episode, Chris opens the door on what blockchain and cryptocurrency are and why kingdom people should understand this fast-moving phenomenon. Toward the end of the podcast, Eric and Chris introduce a monthly discussion group about blockchain and Bitcoin they have been hosting. Here's my conversation with Eric and Chris Chia.
The crazy world of blockchain.
And crypto. Blockchain. So, all right. So let me introduce this topic. So I'm a blockchain. I don't know anything about blockchain. I'm a newbie. Anyway, so I went on YouTube the other day and watched, like, you know, the little 5-minute intro video, the heck is blockchain?
Yep.
Because I wanted to at least know enough to where I could at least, you know, have an idea of what we're going to be talking about. But I'm just really excited to say that, you know, this is something that is happening. It is going to continue happening, and it makes a lot of sense. So anyway, can you tell us, what is blockchain?
Well, yeah, from a very high level, open-ended question. And it's crazy too, because I'll backtrack a little bit, because to be honest, you know, I've grown up in the age of the internet.
Yes.
And blockchain, you know, it really came out probably even 10 years ago with Bitcoin, Ethereum. And I only got into it maybe about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to a place where I've built my own cryptocurrency. I've built my own NFT. I've hand built my own kind of blockchain infrastructure system. But having that all said, I still feel, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would still put myself at maybe a 7.
Okay.
Maybe a 7, because the technology is still new.
It's developing.
It's developing. So anybody that's hearing this and think, oh man, I might be too late to the game, you are absolutely not. This is, you know, still very, very early stage. We're just now seeing big companies start adopting blockchain. At first, everybody say, nope, no way. You know, this is just a hoax. There's no way. But nowadays, every single top, you know, the top 500 Fortune companies, the publicly sold companies, they're all in blockchain now.
Wow.
Walmart is using blockchain right now on their the freshness of the products without the customers even knowing about it. There's a lot of infrastructure being built behind the scenes. MasterCard is going to be using blockchain and then crypto very, very soon. They just announced it that they'll be accepting crypto at over 90 million different stores that have accepted MasterCard before. I think that's starting next year. Google is, they just partnered up with Coinbase, which is a crypto company, and it looks like they'll be accepting crypto through Google Pay at some point, maybe next year. So it's definitely happening, and I think now is the perfect time. That the conversations I love is exactly just like conversations like this. Is just teaching people, okay,
yeah,
what is a blockchain? How does it work? How do I get involved? And maybe sometimes you don't need to get involved.
You need to know, though.
Maybe it's just an understanding of the technology. It's not that you need to actually get entirely involved, but it's still something good for you to know, okay, how does it work? So
like, it's block and then it's chain. So it's blockchain. So how does the blockchain
work? Here's my definition of blockchain. And certainly you can Google it, and there's a ton of different
there's
definitions.
There's nice little videos online.
Oh, yeah. So I'll try to break it down into little segments too. So the way I would explain it is, it is a decentralized peer-to-peer digital ledger. So let's break down, I guess, each one of those words. So decentralized. It just simply means that nobody controls this blockchain. So nobody controls Bitcoin. Bitcoin is 300 lines of code, and nobody controls it. What I would, to make an analogy, is the old school way of television was very centralized. You know, yes. You would have TV stations. I don't know, ABC, Fox, you know, all the big, you know, corporations, they controlled what goes on the television and what you would see between 7 and 8 o'clock, and 8 and 9 o'clock, they have these blocks, and then they would run. That's a very centralized way of sending videos out to the public.
Yes.
A somewhat decentralized way is what you see nowadays with social media. You know,
oh, that's true.
It's Instagram, it's Facebook, it's YouTube.
And there's content. Everybody can participate.
Everybody, you know, Instagram doesn't say, hey, who gets to create an Instagram account?
Yeah.
Who's going to view it? They just created the platform for it. And then now, guess what? The people decide. You know, you have all these content creators, and obviously the cream rises to the top. It's still not an even playing field for everybody. You know, obviously the people that are more popular have certain attributes and whatnot. Hey, they're going to be more popular. People that are very entertaining, they're going to still get more views. But it's still by the people, for the people.
Yes.
And the people, you know, you have to engage with the people, and the people get to decide. So that's a much more decentralized way. Where it comes into finances is centralized banking, U.S. currency, any type of government currency.
Yes.
It is controlled. It is controlled. There's ups and downs. They decide. The government decides. You know, there's laws and there's a structure for it. But ultimately, it is humans that get to decide, okay, hey, we are going to print more money today.
Yeah.
We are going to invest and put ourselves into debt by investing this much money. And we're going to pull from here to put over here. In finances, that is a, you know, very centralized version. A decentralized version is, here's a structure of finances, and it is locked in stone. So, for example, Bitcoin, I would say, is the most pure, and that's part of the reason why it's the most popular, because there's a finite amount of Bitcoins that will ever be made.
Yeah.
And it's on a scheduled system, and we will know exactly how many Bitcoins are out there, and who owns the Bitcoins, which wallets, not exactly who owns it, but at least which wallets own the amount of Bitcoins, and we can track it as well. There's no hidden scheme behind it. There's no strings being pulled. It's all already mapped out for us. So centralization and decentralization, it's basically just who controls it. Is there a one entity? Is there a big guy that runs it and controls it? Is it a big company, a big corporation? Or is it decentralized where, guess what? Nobody controls it.
Yeah.
It's kind of up to the people on where it goes. So next part of it is the peer-to-peer part. Peer-to-peer part, same analogy. It's by the people, for the people. So who runs? So blockchains still need to be ran with nodes and with, they call them validators. So it's you could see it as a bunch of little machines that are computing the numbers. And I say, you know, so if I send one Bitcoin from Chris to Nate,
yeah.
You know, a computer system has to be able to know, okay, hey, it's, you know, there's the one Bitcoin is being moved from one wallet to another wallet, and it has to be validated. So that computing power has to be done somewhere.
Yeah.
So if you have one big company that does all this, they get to control it, right? So with blockchains, it's peer-to-peer. Nobody controls it. It's here's the 300 lines of code. Here's the specs for these validator nodes that needs to run this system. Anybody can join in. You know, you could run on you could run a Bitcoin node right now. You could run a Ethereum node right now. Anybody with some type of computer, electricity, and internet, you know, they can participate in running it, and they will be rewarded as well for helping the network continue. And the last part of it is just a digital ledger, which is nothing new, really. Kind of some of this blockchain technology stuff, it's not crazy science. You know, digital ledgers, it's nothing more than just a digital checkbook.
Yeah.
But the beauty of the blockchain part is it's transparent for everybody to see. It is transparent for everybody to see, but there's also ways where your identity can be protected.
Yeah,
as
I was
well.
Going to say that's necessary.
Yes, it's still absolutely necessary. Yeah. But the most interesting thing about it is every single transaction everybody can view. Could you imagine? You know, we talked about this the other day about nonprofits, charities, and whatnot, and a lot of them have some great, you know, ideas behind them. You know, there's Breast Cancer for Women, there's Make-A-Wish Foundation for kids, there's Red Cross, yeah, sorry, the Red Cross, you know, for, you know, disaster relief and whatnot. You know, great ideas and whatnot. But operationally, how do they function?
Yes.
You know, when you make a donation to Make-A-Wish for Kids Foundation, how is that divvied up? How much of it goes to an operational cost? How much of it actually goes to the children that need it? And then how are those children being picked?
Yeah.
And if you dive into some of these operations, you can see that the money isn't being effectively used. Sometimes it's very poorly used. Sometimes you when you dig into it, it's like 10% of your money that you donated actually goes
That's
and affects
terrible. That's absolutely
and
terrible.
Affects the cause that it was meant to do. So imagine if, you know, their operations was all transparent and you could now even track from the moment that you made a $100 donation where that $100 donation, you know, how is it being actually used? And for us, I think if we can make really awesome platforms where we could display that type of information, it will solidify, you know, a reason for people to even donate more or to actually give in to some of these nonprofit charities, because at the Christian community, we're doing a lot of great things right now.
Yes.
And sometimes just to put an eyeball on it, you know, that it's very, very difficult. And to prove to people with actual data that, you know, this is how effective we are.
Yeah, you know, that's actually a really good point that you bring up. And, you know, part of the mission of Faith Horizons is to discover the kingdom of God in Kansas City. And so part of that is it's a hidden kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so you're saying like the effectiveness of these organizations is hidden from the public. And so you might have a very effective organization, but it's underfunded because we don't know.
Yeah.
And you're saying that something like blockchain getting inserted would allow us to realize, hey, this company is 75% more effective than this company, so let's dump everything we have this direction.
Yep.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that blockchain can do. We kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, but I have a strong belief that it will be replacing a lot of our non-digital assets. So, for example, our driver's license, our birth certificates, the ownership paper to cars,
that
houses.
Makes that makes sense.
You know, right now it's a little bit outdated, and you know, I've got two little kids, and anytime I want to go to the when they're younger, they get to fly for free. When they're under 5 years old.
Yeah.
But guess what? How do I prove that they are? You know, what their birth date is. I actually have to bring my little piece of paper, their birth certificate from the hospital, a piece of paper that, you know, I have locked away, and I have to bring it to the airport. That is such a old, inundated system. It's like, how come we don't have a digital version of it? And the reason why we don't, why I can't just, you know, they actually require me to bring the piece of paper to the airport. I can't just take a picture of it because the fear is, well, a picture on your phone, it could be
prove anything. Yeah.
It doesn't prove anything because people can. Well, you know, how do I know that you didn't go into Photoshop and you just blurred out the date and then you changed it around?
Right.
Great point. Well, blockchain and NFTs is going to be able to solve those issues. It's going to be able to make it so that it's verified on the blockchain that this piece of picture, this representation of it, is actually true, and there is no way to forge it. There's no way to tamper with it because it's all done through blockchain technology.
So one of my questions was, so once something is in the blockchain, like let's say a picture or something like that, could it ever be taken out?
Mm-hmm.
Or would it have to be, could it be expired?
No. So this dives in, and this is one of those things, you know, full disclosure, I'm not going to claim that I am the, you know, 100% guru on blockchain technology. And it's really interesting because you can dive into these rabbit holes.
This is kind of a little bit of a rabbit hole.
And so what we're shifting towards is it's actually an NFT, which is its own thing. It's a non-fungible token.
Non-fungible token.
And with NFTs, when you create an NFT, what you're actually doing is you're creating two things. You're creating a line of descriptions, is what I would say. It's a line of descriptions on the blockchain.
Yeah.
So the picture itself isn't actually on the blockchain. What you actually tell on the blockchain is, here is a web address. And they have these very complicated servers where, you know, as I understand it, when you upload these pictures onto these servers, they're there forever.
Wow.
They're there forever. But on the blockchain, it's just really pointing you to that direction. So the picture itself isn't loaded onto the blockchain, because if you think about it data-wise, because on the blockchain is a very, very complicated formula of cryptography, which is, you know...
Is that what they call hashtags? Or no?
No.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah, that's something... hashes are something a little bit different. What the blockchain is storing is really just ones and zeros. It's very, very, I would say, simple data. It's you know, you could say it's text and numbers only. And numbers only. Because if you were to start, you know, uploading pictures onto the blockchain, pictures, you know, you're talking about megabytes.
Megabytes,
gigabytes of information. Whereas if I just, you know, if I just wanted to do a 26 character line of code, you know, you're talking about minimal. It's kilobytes.
It's kilobytes, yeah.
Yeah. And it's kept to a minimum. The data that's on these blockchain, on these data servers, really, it's kept to a minimum because it's all done through cryptography, which, again, it's a complicated line of code to make it so that really sometimes the simplest the systems are the hardest ones to hack. Because there's not a lot of points of vulnerability.
Yeah.
It's so simple that, you know, there's really not much to toy around with. So that's one of the things with blockchain where, again, the cryptography.
If you move to zero, everything would flip out.
Yeah.
And
people that are interacting with it, you know, we tell everybody, hey, be very, very careful. If I did want to send one Bitcoin from my wallet to your wallet, I have to make sure and confirm that, you know, your wallet address is exactly what it is, because guess what? If I'm off by one number, certainly, yeah, you know, you'll be sent to the wrong place. So you certainly, it's very, very simple, but you also definitely have to be sure of yourself on what you're sending.
So these blocks, what we have a block, which has, blocks have what, information in them?
Yes. So the reason why I guess they would call them blockchain is because each piece of information is added on to the next block. So for example, we have three people sitting at this table here. We have Chris, right. We have Nate, we have Eric. So say we just started our own blockchain today.
Yes.
It's fresh, okay? So, and then say I want to send one coin from Chris's wallet to Nate's wallet.
Right.
So that information will be stored on one block.
Okay.
Okay. Now, that information stays there forever.
Right.
For the rest of time, we will always know on today's date, on a Thursday, Chris sent one coin from his wallet to Nate's wallet. We will know that forever. And everybody can always, you know, come back and look at it, and it's going to be transparent. Now, say we do a second transaction. We're going to move that coin from Nate's wallet to Eric's wallet. So that's done on the next block. And it's all chained together.
So, yeah. So the previous like, number that represented the previous block is on the next block in a certain spot, right? And then if another block is created, the one that was the second block is on the third block. So you're basically, that's a chain of events. This
yes.
is the first block of event. This is the second event. This is the third event.
Yes.
For this item.
Yes.
And then also I heard, because I was watching this YouTube video, it looks like this might actually be helpful with because we're talking about NFTs. NFTs is just one piece of this. It seems like it's a whole world.
Yes.
It's basically a world.
Oh,
being
man,
created
there's a metaverse as well. That's another deep rabbit hole that goes into this technology. That's very interesting.
So
we can definitely touch on that too.
There's a whole world here. So it seems like it could also deeply, and it is already deeply impact retail, manufacturing, shipping. You know, there's something called contracts now.
Smart contracts.
That can be automated. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
So basically we can create a whole system and then have a blockchain contracts that are, if this happens, then this.
Yeah, so basically with smart contracts.
It's like programming again, but it's different.
Exactly. So with Bitcoin, you don't want to call it a dumb contract, but it's definitely one of the simplest and earliest versions. So yeah. Ethereum is a blockchain that really introduced smart contracts to the game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And smart contracts, again, the way that I would put it is it's able to... Set boundaries, set some more rules of what is happening on the blockchain. So for an example, me sending one coin from my wallet to Nate's wallet, it's a button that I have to push. Yes. What if I wanted to send, you know, say I was sitting on a mountain of you know, 1,000 coins, and maybe once every 30 days, I want to send one coin to Nate's wallet. Automatically, without me, you know, pushing buttons on it, I just wanted to set up a smart contract, and I could say, "Hey, for the next 2 years, I want one coin to go from my wallet to Nate's wallet every single month. On the first of every single month, this is what's going to happen for the next 2 years." Then I would write a smart contract to do it, and then I would push execute for it to run the contract, and then it would execute it. And the cool thing and about these smart contracts is, once that smart contract is written and the execute button is pushed, there is no turning back. There's no turning back. It's going to be locked in for that period of time. Or if I do it infinitely, you know, it's going to do it.
Can it ever be changed?
No.
Or adapted?
No. So what will happen is you will need to write a new smart contract.
That kind of like edit basically creates an edit.
Kind of. Yeah. So, and then there's smart contracts.
You can't edit smart contracts, but you can create another smart contract that kind of like...
Yeah, so say if I made the mistake,
if I made a mistake and
I say, oh, shoot, you know, I didn't want to send one coin to your wallet every single month for 2 years. I actually want to do it only for 1 year.
Well, I was just thinking of like business contracts with contractors. You know, like it'd be nice to have, you know, if you have the same payment every month, that you could set up a business contract via, you know, a Bitcoin structure or a blockchain structure, you know.
Perhaps, yeah.
I mean, it was just a thought, but then sometimes contracts change, so you have to edit something.
Yeah.
But you're saying in order to edit, you have to create another
I would have to
contract.
So in my example of the, you know, instead of every 2 years, I made a mistake. It's not 2 years. It's only for the next 1 year.
Yeah.
What I would have to do is I would make a second smart contract saying, okay, so 1 year from now, since I made a mistake, money's going to automatically already move one coin to your coin.
Right.
But for that second year, the smart contract say, hey, we're going to move that coin back from Nate's wallet to my wallet.
Yeah.
So yes, it's going to move, but then it's going to move directly back. Yeah.
Right,
but I can't go back and cancel out that first smart contract so that first transaction never happens. So again, you have to be very, very careful with smart contracts. And what you see a lot of times now is people make mistakes. I see people creating NFTs, creating coins.
So is there a law? I mean, because it seems like you'd almost have to have like a lawyer aspect to this as well then, because this is so set in stone. Is there any laws that are a lawyer structure
beauty of it is no, because there's no governing agency around this, and it has no borders.
Okay.
And these digital coins that people are sending to each other, it doesn't matter. You know, I could be sending it to Africa, to Europe, to China, to Antarctica, and there's no laws there that's going to abrupt it or stop it from happening.
I was suggesting that, you know, if there was a contract that was in error, that was written, would there need to be like law? I'm wondering if it creates a whole other subsector of the court systems.
there is. So it's coming around the corner, and you know, people hear about it all the time, the regulations, you know, coming around crypto. Right now, it's definitely in the financial space in terms of capital gains. You know, how money, when money is generated, you know, how does the government, you know, interact with it?
They want their slice,
right? Yeah, and they should. I mean, it's something that's really meant to replace kind of the old school currencies. You know, we live in a world where our U.S. dollar is pretty stable. You know, yes, there's inflation. I know we always complain about it. Yeah. Yes, there's inflation, but go look at some other countries and, you know, see how their currency is doing. And when they have 1,000,000%, you know, inflation, and literally, you know, there's poor people on the road that just to keep themselves warm, they're just burning the money that they used to have because that money is worth nothing.
Wow.
Compared to even 2 months ago. So there's some currency, there's some really, you know, third world countries out there where their currency system is completely shot.
So does blockchain, Bitcoin, you know, however, currency system, does that actually deal with inflation to some degree? I'm wondering if it would, but I don't know.
So the reason why, again, I'm not an economist. I'm not an economist, but the whole thing with inflation, you know, as I understand it, the dollar, oh man, we can go deep into it because the dollar used to be represented by gold. And I think it was Reagan that, you know, took us off the gold standard.
Yes.
And now the dollar is just off of the trust of U.S. government, right? When we send a dollar, it's just to say we're trusting that, hey, the U.S. government is valuing this at one, what we call $1.
$1.
And the reason why there's inflation is because we keep on printing more and more. So the more we keep on printing, you know, it's less valuable because of that dollar. So there are some cryptocurrencies out there that they have a system where it continually mints. They call it minting. They're minting new coins. The beauty of something like Bitcoin, and there's other coins out there, they are, you would say, deflationary because it's a static amount. So with Bitcoin specifically, there's going to be 21 million Bitcoins that's ever going to be minted, and there's going to be that's it.
Yeah,
it's never going to go away. It's there's no more that's ever going to be minted.
So that continues to drive. So just a thought that continues to drive the Bitcoins that are in existence up in value. Usually, over time.
So the more people that adopt it and say, "Oh, hey, we see value," then yeah, absolutely.
So if I have one coin that's worth, you know, now $150,000.
Right now, $19,000.
Well, not now, but I'm saying, like, you know, in years to come, it's worth $150,000.
Sure.
I have a Bitcoin that's worth that, you know, and I need to do a transaction that's less than $20,000. Is there any division of a Bitcoin, or does it only have to be?
Yes, absolutely.
That was what I was wondering. Yes. Like, how else would you do business?
Yeah. So, you know, it's not just, it's when you're dealing with computer systems.
I don't want to buy a Coke for $150,000.
When you're dealing with computers, there's decimal points and there's different currencies with that can split into different ways, but absolutely, you know, you don't have to buy just one Bitcoin.
So
for
I can
example.
Get like 0.01.
Absolutely. My 9-year-old daughter has Bitcoin.
Okay.
And she has about $30 worth of Bitcoin. Okay. So it's probably 0.000001 of a Bitcoin.
Okay,
something
I see
like
what
that.
You mean.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I didn't know you could actually fracture it and split it. See how much I know? I'm intelligent.
Hey, good question to have, because sometimes on the news, all you hear about is, ooh, Bitcoin's going up.
So
one Bitcoin is worth $19,000.
So it actually is more valuable, I mean, not necessarily than gold. It's more valuable as a currency than gold, because obviously you can't trade gold. You know, I can't shave a piece of gold off and give it to you. That's what they used to do. Here's how I weigh this out and give it to you.
A little bit.
It's not more valuable. What I'm saying is it's more usable as a currency.
Oh, yes.
Than gold.
Absolutely.
Than gold. And obviously that's why we created the dollar, but you're saying that Bitcoin is a better option.
It's even
better
dollar. Because it's completely
makes
digital.
Perfect sense.
Yes. Yes.
But at the end of the day, it's still based on you know, adoptions and people using it.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Because if one day nobody wanted to use, you know, Bitcoin to do anything, nobody wanted to accept Bitcoin as a payment, then the value goes down.
It's
so
just
still, there's a market supply and demand kind of thing. But it's not controlled by one central organization to do that. It's all based on everybody else.
Yes.
So if everybody feel that now, hey, I like to using Bitcoin for transaction, then the price of the Bitcoin goes up because you got a finite amount.
And just like Bitcoin. Yeah, supply demand, just like with gold. If we all stopped saying gold was valuable and we wouldn't accept gold at the pawn shop, you know, and maybe you know next year we go land on the moon and we start saying, hey, you know what, moon dust is the most valuable thing in the universe, and now we all start worshiping, you know, moon dust instead of gold and silver and these precious metals, then yes, the value of gold would go down. So people absolutely have to use it, and for things like Bitcoin, Ethereum. You know, they have to give people reason. Hey, here's why it's valuable. Here's what it can do. Here's what the structure is built off of. Here's why you should value this.
It's actually the use of Bitcoin within the blockchain system. Obviously, Bitcoin is built on the blockchain system, right?
Yes.
So
Bitcoin is, what was it, say that again? Bitcoin is
built. Bitcoin. The currency of Bitcoin was built on top of the blockchain system, right? So, like,
yes,
like it's using the blockchain system.
Yes, okay.
it is a blockchain.
Yes,
okay, that might be a better way to say it. Yeah.
There's many, many other tokens and coins out there that people created, you know, and
that are using stable coin,
the blockchain, everything. And there are thousands of those things.
And there's even some blockchains without any coins.
Yeah.
There's some that are just purely, it's an infrastructure system where they just, all they do is just move data around.
So as money, like, so if I exchange my, you know, $10,000 for an NFT or a Bitcoin, mm-hmm. I'm adding value to the, am I showing like real value
yes.
to the Bitcoin? Is that what I'm,
yes.
I'm valuing the Bitcoin, right?
Yeah. we call them deep dive here, we call them liquidity pools.
Yeah.
And it increases the amount of liquidity pool. So, you know, if, and I do it, it's really hard to kind of explain. You really need some good visuals on it, but I did a live demonstration of it in terms of, you know, how do we put value into these coins? So you could use 41 lines of code right now and create your own cryptocurrency.
Yes.
And you could have a bunch of little coins. I could have a bunch of Chris coins floating around,
yeah.
you know, these blockchains. But until somebody puts money into it, it's worth $0.
Right, but right.
Say, for example, if I minted 100 coins right now, I can mint 100 coins and it's on the Ethereum blockchain. Cool. There's 100 coins out there. It's worth $0. But now, if I set a price to it, and I start the liquidity pool, I put $10 into it. Now I have $10 in the liquidity pool with 100 coins.
So you have 10 cents per coin.
10 cents per coin. But now what happens is if you put $10 into the liquidity pool, now I give you some coins, right? But you increase the liquidity pool. So now we have $20 in the liquidity pool. So now the 100 coins total is now worth, instead of $10, now it's worth $20.
Wow.
So then it gets divvied up. So now the coin value goes up, right? So now it'll be 20 cents per coin.
Yes.
And then say Eric buys in at 20 cents per coin, but in total he puts another $10. Now we have a total of $30.
30 cents per coin.
Exactly. So it goes up and up like that. And the same thing is in through, you know, so then if you sell those coins to me, now liquidity pool, if you go by $10, it goes backwards as well. So now instead of liquidity pool having $30 that represents 100 coins, now it goes down. Hey, it's only worth $20 now out of 100 coins. You do the math, you know, 20, now it's gone down to 20 cents. So that's why you kind of see the ups and downs. The ups and downs is really who has money in Bitcoin.
So
right
the
now.
Value of like Bitcoin or something like that is based off the look. Liquidity.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it's all purely based off
this
of.
This is helpful.
Yes, it's all based off of who is putting money into it, and the rise and the adoption, the crazy news is because you see big time investors. You know, the last wave was the big time investors. You know, getting into it, Charles Schwab guys, the J.P. Morgan, right? And next, you know, again, deep dives into this. You know, once there's regulations around the capital gains of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, you're going to see a lot of more traditional investing, you know, institutions put their money into this.
Right.
And then again, more adoption, more people putting their money into this big pool, the value of it will continue to go up.
So, you know, we were talking about taking risk at the beginning of this, conversation. You know, we're taking risks to get into Bitcoin. We're taking risks to get into blockchain. But it seems like blockchain is so much more impactful than just currency.
It is.
That's why you're saying, as the body of Christ, get in, because we're going there.
Yes. And one of the examples, and this is key for some people too, because we're not trying to give financial advice and say, hey, you need to put some money into crypto.
Well, that's not even money. You need to put your own you need to understand this.
Yes. And there's the thing that excites me, I haven't invested, I'm not a day trader by any means, that's when you hear about crypto people, some people think like, oh, they just sit in front of a computer and they must just be day trading, selling and buying. I do none of that. My focus and Eric's focus as well is building technology on the blockchain. So with smart contracts and blockchain projects, one of the examples is there's a group that is starting a movie. So they are funding the movie using a DAO, another rabbit hole, a decentralized autonomous organization, a DAO. So that in the DAO, it's basically, think of a digital space where these smart contracts are written out, and there's a governing contract or a code that says, hey, we get to pick. So for example, in this movie, they write the smart contract, say, hey guys, help us make a movie. We're accepting crypto donations. So they get a bunch of crypto donations. Now it's like, okay, great. We have some money here. What are we going to do with it? So right from the top, hey, what type of movie do we want to make? Do we want to make an action movie? Do we want to make a comedy? We want to make a romance? So the group gets to put out the options. So say there's only five options. But now since all the people that put money into it, they get to decide what movie gets made. And you can even set the limits where, depending on how much money you put into it, you might have a higher voting right on it.
Voting percentage.
And of course, they can put limitations on that so that it can't just be one person that buys, 90% of the donations. Now they get, one person. They say, hey, even if you've bought 90% of the donations, you still only have a maximum of 5%, voting power. So it's done through smart contracts that can all be divvied out. And then the next thing, hey, guess what, guys? The group can present, hey, we have 10 actors and actresses lined up, all the people that donated, you guys get to put your input. Hey, which ones do we want for this role, for that role? So they get to decide along the way. And at the end of the day, you're going to have a movie that was funded by the people. It's made for the people. And they get to see what they want to see out of a movie. Whereas right now, it's all done through private investments, right? It's the big companies. They decide, hey, what movie is being made, exactly what type. You have one person writing the script. You have a team around them that, do the editing of the script. But imagine a world where you have a huge system that, has certain limitations. And of course, there's some bad ones in there too, where they have bad smart contracts, where they have bad rules in place. So the good ones, they have really smart and clever ones in place where it's a fair and even system. And at the end of the day, you have a good product out of it.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's still, changing every day. So we all learn just like anything else, through this phase, just like on the internet, the 2000, year 2000 bubbles and all that. Everybody's starting to throw anything they wanted to do, but then you start to consolidate. It will be better and better, better and better. Same thing as the blockchain technology, a smart contract, all this kind of thing. Better and better will be coming out from there. And so the earlier that we all learn into it, the earlier we can start to learn how to differentiate the good one or the bad one, or how to improve it. We want to get involved into it. How do we be smart enough to come up with an idea and improve onto it? So it will change this way. But this time is that it's moved a lot faster than the internet era. The internet takes almost 20 years to move where we are, but the blockchain is going to change very fast, a lot shorter. To change the whole system.
And even recently with COVID, it even actually helped speed up the process. So for example, even the way that we do work, right? Going to work, it used to be a very, you could say it's a centralized system where we all show up into one building, you know, and we all use the company's equipment. It's all controlled. There's a HR department. It's all very regulated and done. But nowadays, we know that it's possible. Hey, I could start up a business right now and have 20 employees. And guess what? We don't have to have an office.
Yeah,
and there's going to be 20 employees that are all over the world as well. And one thing that's exciting about that is what type of things you can do when you don't limit yourself to a geographic location. What type of employees can I hire when now I don't have to worry about, hey, you know what? I need 20 employees. I have to pull from the people in Kansas.
Yeah.
You know, now it's a, hey, who is the best person for this job? And I will hire somebody that's in Denmark right now, that's in Australia right now, you know, that's in Brazil, anywhere.
Yeah, with the language translations too structured, we've got all this figured out. Yes. It's very easy to get.
Yes,
oh, right now, no, you know, Facebook just announced it. So even some of the Chinese, I saw it this morning, you know, in Chinese, there's many different dialects and they have a dialect called Hokkien. And Mark Zuckerberg kind of speak in English and automatically translate to a Hokkien. And then that person can only know Hokkien, listen it and say, answer it back in Hokkien and get it back to English, all using by AIs and all that. So,
oh, yes.
It's almost instantaneously. You don't even, I'm not talking about writing right now, it's using speech. And that the translation is exactly the same because I know both of them. So I listen to it. I say, wow, this is something.
That's
cool. Yeah, you can hire people around the world working for you without them having to know about English and you can talk to them directly.
Yeah. Wow.
You know.
Technology is definitely key. And some of these things, it's not even blockchain or crypto driven. You know, like Eric was mentioning, it's artificial intelligence, AI, it's deep fake technology that's coming out. You know, even with the translations, you can even do a video where somebody is, you know, they speak in English originally, but then now with AI and deep fake technology, now they can be speaking in Chinese and their lips actually move as if they're speaking in Chinese.
Terrible.
And they use their own voice where it would sound like their voice is actually speaking in Chinese, even though the very first time they're speaking.
But
think about how nice to use it as a Christian community.
Yeah, exactly.
You can have doing your message, and then we could have 100 different languages that people listen to it.
And without
they listen to know exactly what they're talking. You don't have to do all this trouble on translating it and make it into that place. You can just the sermon is there, message it, say about it. And here, whatever language they understand, and they can respond to it, and you'll know exactly what they respond. This is where technology it is. You know how nice a Christian community would have created this language and created this AI technology. You know that'd be fantastic. Look at that. Now how much money we save on that just on translation.
And then I was just thinking, because everybody goes down the path of when this start, this kind of stuff starts happening, like the unifying of languages. It's the one world government. I'm like, it's going to happen. You know, we might as well participate to the point where, we're able to translate the message of God's kingdom across the globe at the same time as other things are happening. You know, it's like either you can't sit on the side is what I'm saying. Yeah, and that's what you've been saying.
Well, at the same time, I don't think, for me, people talk about this whole one world thing, but I think the blockchain is on the other side of it. You actually, we do not need all this figurehead to run the country. We do not need all these politicians running. It's all decentralized. Imagine that, you could have a city that you do not need a politician to run it. Everybody that live in Olathe here, have a smart contract or wallet, and then whatever, tax or whatever we pay into it, we still need to hire people to run it, city manager and all that, but we do not need a politician out there doing it. All they're doing just creating more stuff and put money in their pocket than anything else, or their friends in their pocket. They create corruptions, everything else. So smart contract will run, can run the city, run the company, run the country, run the world without all this,
wasting time, lobbying,
and then all the corruptions and all the influencers and whoever had the power to do all these things. Now the whole world of people can run the whole thing. I mean, that itself is exciting.
So just winding down, is there any place that they can kind of get to know you guys some more and get to know about what you're doing? Where's the best place for them to go?
I think the best thing will be right now. A lot of people in Kansas City know about the Sending Project.
The Sending Project.org.
You go to their website. On their events section, you can look at it on almost on a monthly basis. So we have some kind of meeting going on whereby we get everybody interested to talk about this thing, and we can have a very, very open discussion.
Wow.
Answering questions.
Wow.
And anything. And then what we want to do is that we're helping also churches and nonprofit to even creating their own place on their website to accept crypto as a donation. So
wow.
Let's get that started. And then hopefully we can get the pastors, everybody to create a congregation and say, hey, get everybody to have a wallet or maybe have a special education. So with church. And we, again, Sending Project can go ahead and organize, we can have a Zoom call and so whoever and what churches tell their congregation, say, hey, we got this day that we're going to talk about a wallet, just creating a wallet. How do you do that?
How do you create a wallet?
Just need to do. If we got a billion wallet that's owned by Christians, we will change the world very quickly.
Wow.
Just need 1 billion.
I'm glad that you're doing a discussion at this Sending Project rather than a presentation.
It's the most effective. So it's especially
so much
with,
more effective.
With new technology, it's always scary.
Yeah.
I think we fear what we don't understand.
Right, right.
And so for us, the first hurdle is just make this not scary for people.
So how many people would you say are attending the Sending Project?
Well, we initially then we started a few months ago.
Yeah.
We had to do a presentation.
You had to show
just to start. Just to start.
Because nobody even know what you got to get.
You got to get the conversation started.
So we did. We did 3 or 4 times that we do our presentations. And then so from now on, we're going to do much more is in terms of discussion. Because
oh, wow.
We got probably 200-300 people that have attended. Some of them attended 3 times because you cannot hear it 1 time. You have to hear it 3 times before when you know what we're talking about. So there are people who are really, really saying, hey, I think I got it now. So now we're encouraging people to say, hey, let's get together. Let's come up with an idea. And all we wanted to do is just give people, come up a pointer to say, hey, you don't have to be a technology genius into this kind of thing. All we want is just let's discuss what are the usage. And you can answer, hey, can we do this? Can we use that? Can we do that? And then by able to answering the questions, then we're able to, come up with 9 new ideas.
Yeah.
And now if we get the business community and say, hey, not only just talk about it, it's just, hey, who have a great idea? And we can pull our resources together. I can pull a lot of technology, people, because that's what, we're doing several projects right now using the blockchain. So we definitely have, connected to people in this area that they're very smart people, smarter than us in terms of writing the codes or doing something else. But at the same time, we still need to people to have some idea. We still need, if somebody got a great idea, we still need some, business community or individual to willing to take risk and invest in that idea. Because not everybody can able to have idea and the money to do it. So we need to be able to encourage, people to say, hey, take a little bit of risk invest in that.
Isn't it interesting? We're all different parts of the body of Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody might have the idea, but another person has the money.
Yeah.
Let's get it together, guys.
They had the money, the idea, but technological-wise, how do you do it?
How do you execute?
Exactly.
You need to execute that part.
Right,
and then once you get it going, you still need operational people to how to get it out there.
Yeah.
You need marketing people to get it out there. So again, it is a group effort. It's a community. The more that we have, and the beauty about this blockchain is not based on, we all know every business and all that, they want to create, they want to capture their own market share. So you always have competition and market share and everything else because they feel that if the market for this is so much in this city, everybody try to compete that. And the great thing about the blockchain is that once you create it, the application could be worldwide. And the more people participate into it, the bigger pie you're creating. So everybody grow together. You don't you don't have to be restricted to just a market here. in Olathe. You know, just think about your Uber thing that you talk about. You know, Uber did not operate just in one city. You know, it used to be a taxi company that compete with each other in the city, but that's all you got. You know, you have to have many license, a taxi license, and compete everybody. Guess what? Uber created this thing, and worldwide, anybody else, you know, can be part of it. And at the same time, it doesn't worry about only Uber had to have it. I mean, many parts of the world, like in Asia, there's a company called Grab, G-R-A-B, you know, just like Uber. And they're doing well in Asia, you know. So there's many, 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 many other opportunities that we all can work together and do that. And I can guarantee you one day will be that, no, hey, Uber have its own, you know, NFT or token or whatever. So you pay for it, you use it, but you use how many Uber rides. You go to Asia and Uber is not there, you can use it on other. You know, guess all that, then it helps everybody. The more people adopting to it in this technology, it create a better, you know, bigger pie of the thing, the more usage. So it's unlimited.
Wow, that's so good. So you guys bring together a group of people and just discuss it, and then, you know, it's kind of like figuring out.
Come up with ideas,
you know.
Yeah. Somebody will come up with some great idea.
All right, you guys, you know, everybody who's listening to this needs to go to this group. Crash's group. If you have 20 new visitors in one day, you'll be like, all right, we better do another presentation.
So what we're going to do is that we're going to have some you know, we probably, you know, maybe once in 2-3 months, or we might split it into like, hey, this is a presentation night. So anybody who never heard it before will do a presentation. But this will be a discussion. So don't come to a discussion unless you go through a presentation. Yeah. So at least have some idea first. You know? And then when you come to a discussion group, then you already have some idea. Because we're going to give you a lot of, ideas to think about.
So how many tables are you guys breaking out into right now? Like five, two?
No,
or
like the other day, we got about 15 people and we just in big one round table.
Wow.
And we just talk and we got fantastic. Some people really get excited about it.
Wow, that's so fascinating. And then, you know, it's actually, I've been doing some research on this. You know, conversation and discussion is where we come up with all of our great ideas, people.
It's the best way. The YouTube videos will only go so far. Even in the past year and a half, Eric, my dad, we stayed up late night, both of us watched the YouTube video. What is blockchain? What is this? But then we have conversations, you know. Okay, exactly. What does it do? Does it do this? Does it do that? And, you know, we research, you know, other blockchains, other coins, other NFTs, other projects, and dive into the technology. And the conversation piece is what I love. And I'll tell you, the community loves it as well. The community that's building this stuff, they're all online. They're all on Discords or on Twitter, where you can join their community right now. You can ask the dumb questions, and it's okay. There'll be people there to answer you, because what's cool about it is they understand it's a new piece of technology. And obviously, the more people that understand it and adopt it, you know, the better off it's going to be. So everybody's kind of really, they have their arms open, and they're very welcoming of newcomers and people that are wanting to learn.
Wow, that's really so cool.
And the other point is that now you have some knowledge into it, okay? Now it's not just joining the local one. It's online everywhere. You can be part of the online community. You can join different groups around the world.
Yeah.
They talk about it. But if you have some knowledge, guess what? You can ask the right question. When you ask the right question, guess what? You attract the attention of the whoever in the group presentations or whoever is in the leader. They say, wow, here's a guy that really knows what to do. And then you build relationship. Like this morning, I was I woke, 7:30. There's a very young group. These are young people. These are in Asia. Actually, they're in Malaysia. Now, the guy who running the discussion is probably in his 20s. But he got a whole group of young people, and they are educating the people, and they're presenting. They're educating a big group of very sophisticated investors.
Wow.
They're the people with a lot of money, and they wanted to learn about this blockchain. So I always present, you know, and that, you know, because my sister was part of the group, so she always said, hey, there's a presentation going on. So I just, but guess what? Every time at the end of the presentation or at the end of the discussion, I'm the only one who actually asking questions because I know a lot more than other people now. Guess what? No, they are very, very interested to work with me on any future projects, everything else, because you know, they say, hey, here's another guy that really knows something. So if we all Christian can do that, guess what happened? We will have able to access to all these talents around the world. But wow. We don't even know about it. Oh, we're just going to wait for the next 10 years. I have one time, some business people say, this is not, we're not going to worry about it for the next 10 years. Let's wait for 10 years. Then only we come to think about it because this is not our priority. But hey, 10 years later, you might be, passed by by so many other things, I think, because the world is not going to wait for.
Yeah, that's so true. Thank you, Chris and Eric, for being on the Faith Horizons podcast.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thanks again, Eric and Chris Chia, for taking the time to open the door on technology to the church. Just think, technology should be a catalyst for God's kingdom expansion. The use of cryptocurrencies and blockchain could provide God's kingdom people with an endless flow of wealth to accomplish all that we are called to do. To find out more about the group Eric and Chris Chia are hosting and get in on some great discussion, you can visit thesendingproject.org, and their group is found under the Events tab. Here is a quick update from Faith Horizons. I have recently added unique pages for each organization interviewed on the Faith Horizons podcast. These pages include all articles and posts for that specific organization and also include the opportunity to leave your testimony of experience with them. You can find these specific organization pages and the opportunity to leave testimonies on the front page. Please take the time to leave a testimony for whichever organizations have impacted you. It really helps tell the complete story of what God is doing in Kansas City. Thank you so much.
But watch over.